Numbers chapter 13. I'll read verse 1 and verse 2 out of the New King James Version Bible. And the Lord said to Moses, or the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader amongst them. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you for what you do and what you continue to do. Father, you're not slacking your promises. Your promises are yes and amen. Father, you're not just starting something. You start something years ago. God, we're the completion. We find our place in what you've already started. And Father, we thank you for the wherewithal to adjust and to yield ourselves and become obedient to what you have set in place. And because we have found the grace to get involved and plug in, God, now we're the recipients of such an amazing grace. Nobody in our bloodline has ever experienced it before, so we can't look there for references, but we know that the heavens are open over us. We sense it all around us, and it's not just the people that we sense. We sense your spirit. We sense wisdom. We sense knowledge. We sense safety around us. And because of that, God, we're going to fully engage and see all that you have for us to see. Now, God, in me right now, bring out of me what you place in me. If it's not in me, it can't come out of me. But everything that's in me, bring it out of me in this service right now, because it's appointed for this service. Fresh anointings, fresh wisdom, fresh knowledge, fresh understanding. The freshness of the kingdom has come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. My title today, it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. So many people go through earth and don't know what belongs to them. But in this particular scripture, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we find out that the Lord is giving, he tells Moses, the Lord is giving the land to the children of Israel. He said he is giving. Now, this is in Numbers. So what I said I'll do, I'll go back to Genesis because I want to know when the Lord first started speaking. Now, you got to be careful because some people pick up on some middle ways of talk. But there is something that's said in the beginning that ignites everything else. So I went back to Genesis. So we back up out of Numbers and we go all the way back into Genesis because I want to find out when did God first started talking like this. And God first started to talk like this in Genesis. And he's still talking to a certain group of people. So it's so important to get around the right leader so you can hear what God is saying concerning you. So as we go back into Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18 is where we're going to read. And you're going to hear something similar to what you heard in Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2. And it reads this way in Genesis 15, verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, who will become Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So the Lord says in Genesis 15, he's talking to Abraham, but he's talking to Moses as well, because Moses is the descendants of Abraham or Abram. So he speaks to him and he says, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to give to you all the land from the rivers that flow into and out of Egypt. And then I'm going to give you those that flow into the river Euphrates. I'm going to give you that. So that's a gift to you. So I'm going to read just a little bit further because I'm going to lay a foundation. You want to know what the Lord is saying to me. You want to know what the Lord has said to my father. You want to know what the Lord has said to his father. There's a deficit when you don't hear what's already been said. So many people want to be an original. An original sometimes can be a person that's gathered information that's not valid and not conducive to the people that they're speaking to. So I'm going to read on. Let's go to Exodus. So you have Genesis, then you have Exodus. So let's go to the book of Exodus now. So when you come into this church, if you know what God said to me, you know how you fit. So if you desire to stay poor, that's not the word for this house. I will never allow poverty to be preached from this platform. You can go through, but you got to come through. I went through. I didn't stay there. So the book of Exodus 3 and verse 8. The book of Exodus 3 and verse 8. And if I needed to, I could go a little bit further back. But Exodus 3 and verse 8, and it reads this way. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and what? Large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So God says to them, through Moses, I'm bringing you out of a land of bondage. Not only am I going to bring you up out of that land, I'm going to bring you into a good land. I'm going to bring you out of the shotgun house. I'm going to bring you out of the projects. I'm going to bring you out of that single ride trailer. So he says then to them, he said, I'm going to bring you up out, and I'm going to bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's yours. Now let's go to Joshua. Joshua was the young man that was mentored by Moses. You can always tell when mentoring was successful because they echo the one who mentored them. So Joshua chapter 1. Verse 3 and verse 4. So you hear this language. I don't know why we don't hear this language in many churches, but this is the language of God. So for every season of hardship, there is possession. So if you've had a rough season, don't die until you get your land. I had some rough stuff to happen, y'all. I haven't been able to understand all this stuff. But one thing I understand, if you take me through difficulties, you better give up my land. And I don't want no land that don't have no water on it. I don't want no land that don't have no honey on it. I don't want no land that don't have no milk on it. Because he said he would give me a land that had flowing milk and honey. Joshua chapter 1. Just stay with me. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to show you. I love my Bible because it can get me out of a crunch. It can get me out of a mess. It can get me out of a dilemma. That's the reason I don't get discouraged when it's hard, because good is coming. He said, I'll give you a good land. Anybody waiting for good? Are you right at the threshold of good? You're so close to good, you can almost touch it. You're so close to good right now, you can smell it. There's this thing when you're traveling. I love to go to the ocean. I love to go to the ocean. And every time I'm driving to the ocean, I can smell the ocean before I reach the ocean. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You start smelling the ocean. You're still about an hour out, but you can still smell the ocean. If any of y'all can sense that you're almost there and you're close, it's because you just got a few more kilometers to drive, baby. You got a few more kilometers to walk. The reason you can sense it, you came in here, I sense something. You sense your future. You sense your land. You sense your breakthrough. You sense your promotion. You sense your raise. Because this atmosphere is conducive for you to sense what God promised you. Okay. Joshua 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Every place that the soles of your feet or the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you. I ain't about to do anything. I have given you. As I said to Moses, as I said to Apostle David, not as I said to the prophet, not as I said to the evangelist, not as I said to the teacher. The teacher ought to be teaching what I said. As I said to Moses, verse 4, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, there they go again, all them ites that's been after you. Every time you turn around, there's an ite somewhere. You work with the ites. You married to the ites. Go on, let's leave that alone. And the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. When we get done, you're going to figure out how you're going to buy your beach house. I notice everything about scripture is about the beach, about lakes, and we living. Why aren't we living close to the waters? There's something about being close to the waters that refresh you. The reason we ain't being refreshed is ain't nothing flowing, but I came to tell you today, it's about to flow. And I don't care who's sitting beside you, I wouldn't let them stop you today. I wouldn't let them stop you today. It can be a condo, it can be a beach house, it can be a house on the lake. I don't know what it is, but I feel a refreshing coming to your life. Look. So, in your scripture, you see it in Genesis, you see it in Exodus, you see it in Numbers, you see it in the book of Joshua. God has not changed what he said. Now, I want to ask you, who have you been getting your messages from? If they hadn't told you what you're supposed to have, it's a gift to you. All these things, God is a gift giver. Before he gave his son, he gave land. He gave freedom. Every person that's in bondage, God gave freedom before he sent Jesus. Then he said, for all the years you spent in captivity, let me give you a beach house. Let me give you something on the lake so you can kick your rusty feet up and just drink some iced tea or some coffee or something. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Some of y'all on your way to where you're not going to have to worry about anything for the rest of your life. It is not going to be a vacation spot. It is going to be a spot that God has put on reserve for you because you refuse to quit. See, if we don't do anything else when we come together, if we don't do anything else, if we have to buy one, we say, well, this is your weekend, and this is your weekend. We buy it, and then we start sending our brothers and sisters down to take a break. Y'all better start thinking up in here. As long as you keep it clean, as long as you don't take that tripped out group with you, so we're going to purchase one, and we're going to send you there, and everybody's going to have a weekend. That's kingdom thinking. Everybody's going to get a break. What? Well, I don't like going in the summer. Well, we got a vacation spot for you in December. You can go in December. Well, I may want to be at home during the holiday. Well, we'll send you in September. See, you got to start thinking, because when you get around that kind of stuff, you start saying to yourself, I believe I can have that too. And if we teach you well, then we can send two families at a time. I'm going to send this group and you send that group. And we're all getting refreshed under the promises of God. Okay. All right. Just stay with me. Just stay with me. You better not try to convince anybody that broke is okay in this church. I suffered too long to be broke. You just not bold enough to ask for your stuff. My Bible said, ask for the nations. I'm going to the nations. You want to know why I'm going to the nations? I ask for the nation. God will not withhold any good things from me. Oh, okay. All right. You need a scripture. You need a scripture. No, you said he's not going to withhold. Let's give him a scripture. James 1, verse 17. So you've been running around people that make you think God's mad at you. God's not mad at you. You're deranged in your thinking. Excuse me, I may not have should have said it like, you're a little bit off in your thinking. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or no shadow of turning. So if he didn't turn, why did you turn? The problem is not in what he's sending. The problem is where you choose to reside. Okay. He's not turning. He hadn't changed his mind about what he said to Abram. He has not changed his mind what he said to Moses. He has not changed his mind on what he said to Joshua. He has not changed his mind on what he said to Apostle Bishop Eddie Long. He has not changed his mind on what he said to Apostle Stephen A. Davis. Why should you relocate when God has not changed his mind? Ain't nowhere else to go. Peter said, you have the bread of life. We don't have anywhere else to go. I need a shout from those who said, there ain't nowhere else to go. You have the word that's strengthening us, building us, opening up our mentality so that we can have all that God has for us. So if all this stuff is in the Bible, and we can take the Bible and strategically see what God has promised. And God is not a man that he should lie. That wannabe minister may be lying, but God is not lying. That self-proclaimed may be lying, but God's not lying. Let me get to my points. What y'all doing up here? Y'all come to get your stuff, didn't you? I like some people. I'm going to get mine. I'm not going to stand there. You said everywhere the sole of my feet tread. So I'm going to start training my feet to walk on some stuff. That's your problem. You've been standing still for the last 10 years. You need to use your feet to claim your land. This is already claimed. 93,000 square feet, 3.5 acres of land. But where are you about to walk to? If I was you, when I leave here, I would say, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. I'd walk up in a hotel. This is mine. I'd walk through the lobby. This is mine. I don't care who built it. I don't care who owns it. I claim it. This is worth getting up out of a wheelchair, baby. Even if you have to scoot yourself, put your feet on the floor and push yourself. Because wherever the soul. See, some of y'all have underestimated the ability to walk. If the Bible said wherever the soles of your feet tread, God said, I will give you. You think I'm an undervalued? That's why I said, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, because they're walking on something and they're going to keep walking. As long as I'm preaching, I'm going to keep on walking, and I'm going to keep on owning, and I'm going to keep on taking, and I'm going to keep on possession, because as long as I got feet, I'm going to line my feet up with the word of God. Okay. All right. The realization that you are a part of God's kingdom family helps you, helps in sealing the covenant of promise. The realization that you are a part of God's kingdom family helps in sealing the covenant of promise. The whole time that he was speaking, it was going. And it was moving. People try to get you to separate yourself. Some people say, the devil's trying to kill me. No, he ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to separate you from the promise.
You wonder why they started talking like that. They were outsiders trying to stop an insider. The devil, he it's not that easy to kill you. But it is possible to convince you to get outside of your promise. And to be honest with you, you don't need anybody else talking outside of you. Your head will do a pretty good job on its own. Nobody wants me. They ain't even thinking about me. I might as well stay at home. They don't care if I'm there or not. Nobody recognizes when I come around. Your head will do a pretty good job at isolating you away from your promise. Galatians 3, verse 26. See, I'm determined. You're not going to separate me from the love of God. You're not going to separate me from my promise. You're not going to separate me from my leader. I love what's in my leader's mouth. My leader was dying and still telling me, don't you dare take sides, Davis. Take over. Tell when you got a good leader. You can read through your Bible. Good leader, while they're on their deathbed, they still giving orders. Tell death, hold on, death, I ain't done giving instructions yet. Stuff I need to get out of my mouth. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who, listen to this, as many of you, talking about you, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, so you can't hold me down as a black man, you can't hold me down as a white man, you can't hold me down as an Asian man. There is neither slave nor free. So no matter what I've been through and how many times I got locked up, you cannot hold my harvest back because of that. There is neither male nor female, so we can't get mad at the wild women. We just gotta be real men. Let me say that again. We can't get mad with the wild women. We just got to be real men. So they have something and we have something. You notice that there is no exclusion here. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Listen to the last part here. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when you accepted Jesus Christ, God took you, joined you to the blessing that was on Abraham, the promise that was on Abraham. Every empty wound is about to be filled because God promised. Everybody that's been running around barren for any period of time, you better get ready. You're about to give birth to something bigger than you. When the promise, let me help you. Can I help y'all? How can you stop me and you didn't impregnate me? You didn't give me vision. And some of y'all are afraid of people who are doing heinous things. Well, if they weren't there in the intimate time, caused you to think and dream about something bigger than the house that you were raised in. The reason God brought you through here, put you under the sound of my voice, because you're about to have twins. None of your family are accustomed to having twins. None of your family. They said, why do you have multiple campuses? Because I got pregnant by the right one. And I just say, in 2023, everything is going to double, if not quadruple. Somebody better get in the family right now.
I said something's dropping in this place. I feel something dropping in this house right now. I feel the sons and daughters of God plugging in. Your money is coming. Your pockets are being filled. Your bank accounts are receiving direct deposit. Cancer is being, my God, eradicated from your bloodline. That's why the devil don't want you to be sons and daughters. The realization came. You got to know who you're kin to. You got to know who you're kin to. You got to know who you're kin to. Some of y'all been looking for me all of your life. And I've been looking for you all my life. Because you can separate relationships, but somewhere in your life, you start looking for the people you're kin to. And y'all just thought it was natural. No, it's spiritual. My pastor taught me that we hung out together before we came to earth. That's the way my pastor put it. It's not that we just meeting one another down here. We're just restoring the relationship while we were running around playing around in heaven. Before we were placed in the uterus. Before we were came down the birth canal. We were hanging out, playing together, succeeding together, conquering together, overcoming together before we came to earth. But now that we're in the earth, let's continue what we started in heaven. I said, what started in heaven, let's continue it in the earth. I know that's a little bit deep for some of y'all. But you can only go with what you're kin to. Come a little bit more. Can I go a little bit further? See, now, I'm not looking for relationships. I'm looking for the people I'm kin to. I'm looking for people who have that kind of DNA that when I meet them, it makes my baby leap. You know, when Mary went to give that salutation at Elizabeth's house, she opened up the door. Mary said, hello. John leaped in her belly. There's some people that when they open up their mouth, something on the inside of you just starts stirring. Yeah, you said, that's my kinfolk. Slap somebody high by, tell them, that's my kinfolk. Yeah, I'm kin to new. I am kin to Refresh. I'm supposed to be in Refresh. That's my man of God. That's my first lady. You're my brothers and sisters. We kinfolk. Moved all the way from Georgia. Moved all the way from Baltimore. We're kinfolk. You got that right. We're supposed to be together. It's time to get the rest of our family together. You go through hell when you ain't with us. We feel deficits when you're not with us. But when we come together, I said, when we come together, when we come together, we shake nations. When we come together, I feel the nation shaking right now. The president don't know what to do. The governor don't know what to do. The mayor don't know what to do. No, the senators don't know what to do. But when we come together, my Bible says in the book of Ephesians, every joint supplier. Somebody came in here depressed, but I promise you, if you check yourself, your depression is gone. God's intentions was for you to never miss your message. God never intended for the previous generation to not echo into this generation. So if there's silence in one generation, the next generation is now trying to recover
from the ignorance that was imposed on them because nobody transferred to them what God originally said. So you'll play with crumbs when you're supposed to be at the table eating the cake. You'll settle for Section 8 and governmental support when you're supposed to be the government. You got to understand that the name church, the ecclesia, that's a governmental term. If you do your study on the kingdom, that's a governmental term. It means we rule, means we subdue, means we take dominion. Let me tell you why law enforcement can't solve the crime problem. Because we have the solution. God created the church to solve the community crime problem. I was in a meeting not long ago, and the leader told me, he said, for centuries, it's been the church that solved the crime problems. They sent me some type of text just the other day telling me how bad the crime was in Birmingham, but they didn't know we were going to come together today. When we come together, I'm not telling you to go out and get a picket sign. I'm talking about turn into sons and daughters and get our children off the street. Welcome them into the promise. A little bit more. I'm going to save some for, I guess, next Sunday. Because I'll be live streaming on Wednesday night. Too many people baking turkeys for me to interrupt their time. And COVID has shown me I can get in your kitchen. I can get in your bedroom. I can get in your man cave. I can get anywhere. So Wednesday night, I'm coming to where you are. I'm coming to where you are. I'm going to be powerful too, but I'm coming to where you are. I'm going to get around some of your jacked up family members. You want to know why? Because I'm coming to where you are. They never should have gave us technology and thought I was going to be silent. I'm coming right there with you. You're going to take your phone out. Listen to this. No, don't say listen to this. If it's what something that came from my father, watch this. So listen. A covenant of promise travels from generation to generation to ensure a full manifestation of what God has promised. Now, the devil couldn't figure out how to stop God's promise. And the way you stop God's promise is you muzzle the mouth of the generational spokesperson. In order to stop a generation, you got to cut off the sound. You got to make people turn a deaf ear to truth. And if you turn a deaf ear to truth, you turn a deaf ear to treasure. There's no way you can turn a deaf ear to truth without turning a deaf ear to treasure. So if you meet a group of people who are perpetuating wealth and success, that means they were communicating. Listen here. You may be crazy, but you're going to get your degree and you ain't going to lose your mind. You're going to move up the ladder and you ain't going to lose your mind. You're not going to get caught up in your stuff. They're not going to know what you got just because they're looking at you. But you're going to continue to dominate day after day, moment after moment, because I'm going to train you like that. You ain't no trash. You ain't second class. You're not the tail. You're the head. And I'm going to teach you like that, because when calamities come your way, you're not going to change your mind about who you are. Listen to me. This is who you are. You may make mistakes, but you're not the mistake that you made. You shall recover, and you shall recover all. Somebody shout, I am recovering. I gotta stop. For all of you who are still rehearsing failure, for all of you who are still rehearsing defeat, If you listen, you will have more this next round than you ever had on the first couple of rounds. There is something that the Lord is releasing now. The Lord told me personal. He said, you've been playing it too safe. I said, playing it safe. He said, yes, you've been playing it safe. He said, I want you to get out of the box. And he said, I want you to bleed like you never bleed before. I want you to say things that you may not say it before, because I need to wake up a generation of people. I didn't come to put you to sleep. I came to wake you up. Slap your neighbor high five. Tell them, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You can sanitize your hands later, but wake somebody up in this place. I come for all my possessions. I come for my peace. I come for every promise that's over my life. Devil, you can't have it. Skeptics, you can't have it. I came to get my stuff. Somebody shout. All the hell raisers that tried to overthrow my ministry, I put my foot down today, and I decree and declare, no weapon formed against Refresh shall be able to prosper. Shout one more time. Put your foot on. I don't know how many devils you got to step on. Yes. Oh my God, yes, 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 yes. I feel something breaking out in the middle of every section. I see angels all up in the balcony right now. I believe those angels are responding to your request. I believe those angels are responding to you decreeing and you declared. I believe those angels are responding to your feet. I got to go, but I want to tell you this. Your life is better now than it was before service started. And I dare you to shout about it.
Hey, if you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.